Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, I want to do coping strategy number 13. Now, when I was trying to think of which one to do, I was looking back over the last 12 episodes of the series, and I realized I hadn't talked about sleep. You know, sleep is sometimes our best friend and our worst enemy. For anyone who's got some level of neurodiversity, they've probably had to deal with ups and downs. I wanted to share some thoughts on this, what I do, what works for me at the moment, and also where I still struggle, because I think anyone who says they've got a perfect system is lying. So I'm just going to share what's working and also where I get the most frustrated. So let's dive in. Okay, I couldn't believe I hadn't actually recorded on sleep. It's something that I've had good times with and bad times with over the years. And it's always something that is so valuable when I focus on it. When it gets my attention, when it's lucky enough to get my attention, it always improves the rest of my life. You know, if you've had a bad night's sleep, the rest of your next day is poor. You know, I think we can all appreciate that cause and effect cycle. Doesn't always mean we give enough value to sleep, but we know when we haven't had enough of it. You know, if I, for whatever reason, am up till midnight and then I'm back up at 5 a.m., that day, it's not written off, but my productivity, my energy levels, my kind of, I don't want to say temper, but my ability to deal with the small stresses of life is heavily diminished. I just kind of want to curl up in a ball. You know, sadly, life doesn't allow that always. You've got to do a bunch of stuff. But it can be very, very frustrating. What's even more annoying is sometimes we do it to ourselves, right? We let ourselves get too tired. We know how valuable it is. And one of the core premises of this podcast is that those of us with dyslexia, a high number of us have some level of ADHD or other similar traits. Now, I know with ADHD, one of the core things that happens is we're not always good at giving ourselves much time to rest. We're always go, 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 always trying to do the next thing. When our brains get activated, they just want to run off and start playing. It's like a naughty child, just goes, even at this late age. I think I'm 38 now. And it's frustrating, right? Like I know that if I wake up at 5 a.m. and I give my brain even half a second to start thinking about what's going on that day, I may as well just get up. I may as well just get up because it's very hard for me to go back to sleep. Now, I have tested a bunch of stuff when it goes to, just across the whole sleep spectrum. And I thought I'd share some of the ideas that I've trialed. And some of these, just be aware, some of these work all the time. Some of them are more intermittent. You know, some of them will work occasionally. So first and foremost, the big ones for me at the moment, one is from a nutritional point of view, is I do take theanine and melatonin to fall asleep, and that has been really helpful. That really makes sure I go to sleep within 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whereas without it used to be hour and a half. You know, my brain would just keep going. So that's been super valuable. I also do use THC and CBD oil from time to time if I'm very stressed in the day. Like if I know my mind is just playing a different ball game and my whole body is in a real cortisol kind of zone where I'm just not chilling out for whatever reason, I will use it, which at the moment is probably maybe 5 or 6 times a month, give or take. I will use it in my evenings, and it definitely does help. And I don't feel a hangover the next day, as far as I can tell, but it will give me a pretty good night's sleep, all things considered. So those are probably probably one more actually, magnesium. I do take magnesium in the evening. There's a type called magnesium threonate, which I heard on another podcast, and it's kind of a magnesium that works in your brain as much as your body, and it actually really helps to relax everything, I believe. So I use that as well from time to time when I've got some in stock. So that's kind of my nutritional regime or medication regime about sleep, and it works pretty well these days. Where it doesn't work as well is if, for whatever reason, you've stayed up late. So over the weekend, I was up until midnight watching the coronation of the king. You know, there's a lot of Brits around us, British people around us, so we watch a bit of that. And for us, our time zone, I think it was on to 1:30 at night. I got to midnight and I was like, no, I'm going to bed. Luckily I did, which was good, but I could have been up till 1:30, 2 a.m. And that would not have been a good Stephen. So catching yourself and realizing, hey, you need sleep and that's okay. Not feeling peer pressured, not allowing yourself to go down a rabbit hole where you feel, you know, you're going to put yourself into these negative positions is really key. Having some lines. Like very often, like last night, I was in bed by 8:30 p.m. I was just tired. Old me would have stayed up and found myself using other dopamine tools like playing video games or, you know, snacking late, when actually my body is actually telling me to rest. And that's probably the biggest thing I've learned as a coping strategy is saying, am I tired? It's okay to go to bed early. It doesn't make you, you know, insert word here, insert self-judgment from our worst enemy, ourselves. And so I've stopped allowing myself to do that. I'm saying, hey, if I want to go to bed at 8:30, listen to the radio or whatever it is, I'm going to do it. And that's what I do. And that has been massively helpful. The old days, I would have 100% built up this peer pressure kind of conversation in my head. Nowadays, no, no more. And so that's really key. It's actually getting a kind of creating a system for yourself that allows sleep to work for you. If you're getting 5 hours a night and you're saying to yourself, I can only sleep for 5 hours a night, how do you change that? Because that's a self-belief, right? It is a belief. I went through a period where I truly thought I was a five-hour-a-night sleeper. I could have sworn to you on every grave in the world that there's no way I could sleep longer than about five hours a night. I would have sworn that to you at one period of my life. And then I realized I made that up and it's actually a lie. And you can actually become whatever you want to become if you want to. What you have to ask yourself is, do you want to improve your sleep? If you do, you can. It's not an impossibility. There's, you know, I now sleep on average, if I would go to bed at 9:30, I'm up at about 5:30 in the morning. So I naturally average about 8 hours and I need those 8 hours. I also find interesting with my patterns, I sleep more in winter than summer. If there's more light, I will wake up. If there's less light, I'll go to sleep earlier. So that's really interesting. I don't know if that's just an attunement to the seasons, but it's important to make sure I get that extra sleep in winter, or I seem to feel more anxious or depressed in the day. Does that kind of make sense? Or I feel more like, oh, there's no sun. It's just cold. It's wet. Where if I've slept more, I have more energy to keep going. So again, with dyslexics, you're going to potentially require sleep. Maybe not more than others, but you're definitely going to see your dyslexic traits flare up if you're not getting the right amount of sleep and your body isn't regenerating. It takes more energy to run our minds. It does take a lot more energy to run our minds. So if you're running out of energy from sleep, you're going to start to find yourself stimulating with food or alcohol or coffee. Coffee's a big one. Anything like that to kind of keep you going when you don't want to, is the bones of it. So what I would say is have a look at your sleep patterns. How long are you sleeping on average? Have you built yourself a routine? And that would be the place I'll finish is have you got a sleep routine? If your routine changes 7 nights a week, you're going to have a poor sleep cycle. If you can say, hey, I'm going to go to bed at 9:30 every night, I'll be lights out by 10 or 9 and 9:30, whatever it is for you. And you're gonna stay in bed, whatever happens, for a minimum of 7.5 or 8 hours, or whatever that number looks like for you. You know, start to put those routines in place and tell yourself this is how it works. And then let yourself find the solutions around you to get that to work for you. Sometimes it's nutrition or different vitamins and stuff like I take, or different medications. There's no right or wrong here. But what seems to be common across the world is that, you know, we need a good amount of sleep. So if you are starting to find yourself agitated, anxious, everything's going a bit wrong, turn to sleep. Give it a try. I know it's one of the most boring coping strategies, and I know it's hard to even get ourselves excited about sleep. I get more excited the older I get, so maybe that's just natural. But it is a key thing to make us more successful in life. So how can you focus more on your sleep? That's Stephen from The Truth About Dyslexia. Hope you've enjoyed this podcast. If you have, like, share, review. I always appreciate it. And thanks for everyone sharing the pod. I've seen it really getting around a lot recently. Have an epic rest of your day.